on, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome in. Lineup Logic here. Sean Kane, your host. This is the Lineup Logic podcast, the NBA Daily Fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I am Sean Kane. It is Wednesday, April 5th. Winding down the NBA season, winding up the MLB season, and things are weird, to say the least. But hey, in the next hour, we will preview the night to come in the NBA. We are going to hammer out all these NBA slates all the way through to the end. I mean, tonight, a big one, one of the bigger national nights before the end of the season here. Some great games on the slate tonight. So we are going to talk about, you know, the games that we got on the slate. Why not? It's a good game, good slate of games, some interesting spots to target for sure. You know, and we'll talk spreads, we'll talk injury news, and then we'll break down the players upcoming on the slate. But, you know, before I go too far, gotta say a couple things. One is, if you haven't seen on my timeline, there is a link to a special edition PGA podcast to the Masters. The Masters, DFS Kingsguard, Scott, our friend over there at Lineup Logic, jumped in there, got us a PGA breakdown for the Masters. So if you're thinking about throwing a couple lines out there for the Masters just for funsies, you don't want to, you know, dive too deep, Scott absolutely has you covered, builds you a nice little player pool there, going through, you know, some of his favorite options. Of course, Scott is he's a GPP guy, so you know, listen to the pod, use his ideas, build your lineups, you know, and enjoy the Masters. I mean, you know, hey, a couple $1 entries in there. I know Scott's going to be playing a lot, but you can also talk to Scott, DFS Kingsguard, on Twitter. He'll be happy to help you with golf talk. Absolutely. And if you're in the Slack channel, of course, that's the best place. Patrons, you guys know right now we've got MLB up. We've got NBA up. We're talking about it all the time. We are working on the MLB cheat sheet right now. The format, we've jumped around between a couple ideas. We're trying to find the most useful way to, you know, account for basically the fact that variance in MLB is so much different than in NBA. In NBA, we really felt like we had a good, solid grip on what a useful cheat sheet would look like. In MLB, we're still trying to hammer that out, whether it's going to be via stacks or via game targets, via individual hitters, pitchers. We're not really completely sure what it's going to look like, but we're working on it. We're getting there. Hey, shout out to all those guys in the FanDuel tourneys. If you're in FanDuel tourneys, the couple guys advancing, you know, Josh Fern, Kingsguard advancing, a couple guys from Fan Forecast, Loco, all advancing into the next round. Should be interesting, a lot of fun. Absolutely to see some guys, you know, making it into the round of 32 there. You know, it's still a fun time. I think there's a lot to think about, and I'll talk about it in the lineup recap of how we do NBA, because last night, I got toasted. Just to kind of, we'll talk about it. There's a couple of things that went right, and there's some things that definitely went wrong. And recently, NBA has been very, very, very difficult to wrap your head around. With a combination of basically certain teams playing their hearts out on given nights, and other teams just punting completely and giving random minutes out all over the place. It's very difficult to predict. And, you know, you combine that with the fact that now cash games are overweight with sharks because regular guys are backing out at the end of the season and switching over to MLB. It's a difficult game. It's a more difficult game to play. So, you know, we'll think about it. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and recap the previous day's lineup. You know, I mentioned this. Last night was rough. Not gonna lie. You know, kind of exactly what I thought might happen happened. You know, I mean, you have basically the entire field on the exact same guys. You know, massive ownership percentages in certain places. You know, and if you're not on the right guy, then you're on the wrong guy, and it kills you. And it, you know, it was lineup construction for us wasn't terrible. There was just a few spots where we really missed and a few spots where we really got hurt. You know, we ended up with, like I said, I just ran out that show lineup that I was working on. Steph, Moutier, DeMar DeRozan, TLC, Jimmy Butler, Justin Anderson, Nico Mirotic, Frank the Tank, and Brooke Lopez. Now, Steph goes 4X in that game, and I said it's going to be Steph or Clay. Well, Clay goes for 41 points, just absolutely smokes people. Steph was super low owned, which I was really, really pleased with. And in a decent matchup, you know, Minnesota always keeps it kind of kept it kind of close with them. But it just wasn't enough, given the fact that, you know, people were basically all over Jamal Murray and Emmanuel Moutier. And Jamal Murray and Emmanuel Moutier both go, you know, for 25-plus points. Excuse me, Moutier goes for 24 and Jamal Murray goes for 28. You know, both of them exceeded value, split the minutes basically almost down the middle. Murray got the start in a couple extra minutes. But Moutier produced really well off the bench, and they played alongside each other as well. DeMar had a terrible, terrible first half and then a terrible fourth quarter. He shot the ball four times in the first half. He had 9 points by halftime. Second quarter, he blew up. Dude scores like 20 points in the, excuse me, in third quarter. Dude scores like 20 points in the third quarter. He's coming down the stretch, and it's a game. And Indiana just shuts him down. Just absolutely shuts him down. He doesn't score basically anything in the third quarter going in, or in the fourth. You know, last 5 minutes of the game, DeMar, I'm looking at him, he's at 37 fantasy points. I go, we got 5 minutes left to play. He's gonna get to value. Nope. Toronto barely can score in the last couple minutes of the game. They end up losing that game to Indiana by 18 just because Indiana's defense locked them down. And, you know, frustrating for sure to see DeMar DeRozan go out that way. Just kind of a weird night for him. Timothy Loa-Cabarro absolutely crushed. I said he was almost a must-have. You know, him, the three value guys that we put out there really did what they were supposed to do. Moutier, TLC, and Justin Anderson. And Justin Anderson, you know, only 18 points, but he was just about 5X at 4K. You know, he did fine. It doesn't kill you when your value guy misses by a point and a half, 1.1 points. He missed 5X by 1.1 points. It's 1 point off. You know, you definitely get that made up for by the fact that, you know, TLC went 7X. You know, it's the studs that we filled in around those guys and the way that you spent that money. The whole world was on Jimmy Butler and the whole world was on Giannis, and Giannis didn't really hurt us because the Bucks got blown out, you know, and I said, I don't know how much rebounding upside there is there. Roberson shut him down, took him out of the game, and DeMar just was in a position to succeed. He just couldn't find the rim late in that game and early in that game, and frustrating outcome for sure to see that from DeMar. And then the Bulls get taken out of the game by the Knicks. They're down by 16 at one point. I told you this team wasn't good, man. The Bulls get taken out of that game. Jimmy is 22 at the half, and then he only goes, you know, he can't get anything done in the second half and basically lays an egg in the third quarter and comes back a little bit in the fourth, but nothing there. Nico was great. Nico was absolutely great. Some nice regression for him. He goes just above 5X. Really pleased at that. People got scared off of Nico because of the last game where he lost his minutes, but we knew it was a good matchup for him. So he was low owned. He did a lot of good work for us in that New York game. And Frank the Tank kind of had the same thing that DeMar had. Terrible first half. He went into halftime with 7 points and then, you know, played really well down the stretch in the third quarter, you know, for Charlotte. And we like that targeting fours against Washington is definitely something that you want to do. And God, if he had just had a little bit more production in the first half, but I guess that was partially because Kemba was blowing up. And then Brolo was probably the most frustrating piece of all. Low owned, under 10%, had 26 points at halftime, and then didn't see the floor in the second half because Brooklyn was up by 40 points. Brooklyn is up by 40 points. I mean, give me a break. Just, I mean, frustrating as hell. And basically what it boiled down to is that my 9K on DeMar was not as well spent as 9K on Boogie Cousins. And Boogie goes 7X. He kills and the entire field was on Boogie. The entire field, I mean, 85% of people were on Boogie, you know, or 65 in the triple doubles, 80% in my cash games, which, you know what, I mean, like, that's what, it, what are you going to do? You know, I mean, it's just, if it's basically, if I go, okay, let me get off of DeMar, let me get on Boogie, and then let me get on to Clay instead, and we crush. It's one pivot. It's one change. And everything else is sound. It gets you through, you know, because LeBron didn't destroy. No one was really on K-Love. And Clay's ownership was low, but we knew Clay was going to have a good game. Frustrating, man. You know, frustrating to try and predict. And I think that there's two ways you can approach this. Is you can continue to hammer cash games and you can try to determine where ownership is going to be and where ownership is going to be high and either pivot and just try to continue to be a little bit contrarian and try to grind out and, you know, have a couple nights where if the chalk doesn't hit, then you hit hard. You know, not having Giannis was huge. Not having him was huge. You know, it was just as big to not have him. Not having Russ was just as big. I mean, Russ, you know, barely played in the second half. He didn't get to value. He only went 4X. So, you know, those are all sound decisions that we made. It's just a question of how you want to approach this going down the stretch. You know, I think that we have to be careful here. We really do. We have to be careful about our ownership, where we're putting our money, because it's difficult to predict how things are going to go. And in that respect, it can be really, really, really frustrating. So there's, like I said, you can either continue to play the cash games and try to get a little variance or predict the chalk, or you can just go GPPs and, you know, lower your bankroll, lower your exposure, hedge a little bit, widen your player pool, make small pivots across your lineups as these last, you know, 2 weeks of the NBA roll out here. You know, you just kind of basically throw some GPP lineups out there and account for some of the variance and try to play in pools that where guys are, there are a larger number of players, therefore there's lower ownership on players. You know, you see a lot more variance in GPP pools and large player pools than you will in your cash games, where you see basically the algorithms projecting everybody to the same lineup. And that's the truth. I mean, you see, in cash games last night, I saw probably 10 to 20 people with same lineups because they're all using the same resources and building the same lines, and that's what sharks do. So when you're not with them, you know, you're going to get chomped up, and that, you know, it hurt. It hurt for sure. So it was a challenging night. But hey, let's jump into tonight. We got some really interesting, nice games. One of the nicer slates left here that we have, because you have some really important playoff implication type games here. You know, we don't have lines in all of these games, but we do have lines in a lot of them. So let's jump in and look at the NBA tonight. Okay, so first game of the night, Miami at Charlotte, 206 total here. Charlotte favored by 2. At home, Charlotte, basically do or die situation for them. This is it. They really gave it their all last night in Washington, and Washington pulled away in the second half. You know, had they gotten that win, they would have really, really been in a good spot. But Miami is one and a half games ahead of them. They would be in a really nice spot to kind of almost trade places with Miami and really, really try to make it to that 8 seed. The Bulls helped them out by being, you know, playing terribly in New York, and the Pacers got that win, so they're still in there. You know, they're still in the fight, but I think that, you know, there's only a 2-game spread between the Hornets basically and the Bulls, and you know, in between the Hornets and the Bulls, excuse me, in between the Hornets and the Pacers and the Bulls, Bulls and Pacers tied at 7-8. But like I said, the Heat are the team that's right in front of the Hornets. So, you know, one good win for the Hornets here and a loss for the Heat would bring them pretty close. And we would have to then, you know, and we have to pay attention to this kind of stuff because it matters. You know, both of these teams are going to be playing hard. I don't know how much exposure I want to this game, given the fact that it's one of the lower totals on the slate. But, you know, it's definitely an interesting target based on playoff implications. No serious injuries to consider in this one, except for the Waiters injury, and we know how that pans out in Miami. Toronto with Detroit, 197 total here. Detroit favored by one. I don't really have a lot of interest in this game either. Really low total, really low pace. DeMar going to get a really good defense against KCP. I guess you could look at Ish Smith and maybe some of the peripheral players in Detroit just because of minutes. But it just doesn't interest me that much. There's too many other good games on the slate. 202 total, or excuse me, Oklahoma City at Memphis, 202 total here. The whole Memphis roster continues to be banged up. There's value here if we know who's playing and who's not on Memphis, but Memphis just reeling right now, really, really, really strugging in this at the end here and slipping. You know, four games up on the Blazers and the Nuggets, that fight is still very much alive. The Blazers losing back-to-backs in the Minnesota and Utah game, and the Nuggets in action in Houston tonight, which, you know, that's a tough win for them, but they beat the Pelicans. So that was a close one, but they got the win that they needed there to kind of stay in the fight and nip at the heels of the Blazers. The Grizzlies are have a four-game safe lead, but, they want this win, but I don't know necessarily that they have the guns to do it against OKC and Russ. Mike Conley got a busted eye yesterday, and, you know, of course, Tony Allen has a thing, Jamichael Green has a shoulder, Marc Gasol has a foot. You know, pretty much the only guy that's healthy is, you know, Zach Randolph, and he's been playing pretty well, but really hard to predict when what we're going to see, you know. So keep an eye on the Memphis news. Denver at Houston, 240 points. Are you kidding me? This is insane. Give me as many shares of this game as I can get my hands on. Gotta love this one. Gotta love the pace. Gotta love the total. And if there's one thing that you can trust in daily fantasy, it is, or NBA daily fantasy, it is pace. It is pace. This is going to be a breakneck pace. Denver's going to bring it, you know, and Houston at home, all those guys got rest. Ariza got some rest. Harden got some rest. Ryan Anderson is out for them with an ankle on the Denver side. By the way, Harden and Ariza expected to play for sure. On the Denver side of the ball, of course, Jameer Nelson still nursing that calf injury. We'll have to see if he's going to get fired up. If he's not, I don't know that he will. If he isn't, then, you know, we've got this Jamal Murray, Emmanuel Mudiay situation, which basically is halvesies right now. But, of course, it can always swing to the guy who's playing better based on lineup construction and Malone's rotations, which are just always a hot mess. So, you know, I saw a lot of lines where people started them both. Makes sense. I don't see why that's not a viable strategy. Ken Faried left that game last night with the back, so you got to think the back injury has been re-aggravated for him, and he will sit. And Mason Plumlee likely to get those minutes in Denver. Cleveland at Boston, 218 total in this one. This one matters. Probably the most important game on the slate. These guys are tied for the one right now in the East. Tristan Thompson has a thumb thing going on, which kind of matters, but, you know, I got to think that they're going to want to play small ball anyway against Boston. So Kevin Love with the massive bounce back game last night against Orlando. I said there was going to be a Kevin Love regression game, and we missed it. We missed it. And I'm pissed I missed it. Boston, everybody looks good to go. Bradley and Crowder were the ones that we were worried about. Crowder with the elbow and Bradley the illness, but I think they are good to go. They're probably fired up the full strength Celtics here in this one. So definitely a target for just competitive high minutes for both team starters. You like that a lot. Lakers at San Antonio, 206 total in this one. San Antonio favored by 10. This is a rest candidate for San Antonio, guys. Let's keep an eye on this one. Danny Green is out. Manu Ginobili left last night's game with a thigh injury. And, of course, you know, you have this really tight Lakers rotation, but hard to predict minutes beyond D'Angelo Russell, Julius Randle. Brandon Ingram got the knee. We'll see if he plays. But I wouldn't be surprised if you see maybe some LaMarcus Aldridge rest in this one because he had that thumb injury, you know. And basically, San Antonio, they're in the two seed. They're not going to fight it. They're not going to blow themselves up on a back-to-back against, against the Lakers. I think that they feel like I wouldn't be surprised if you see either Kawhi or LaMarcus rest, in which case we're going to definitely have some value from the bench in San Antonio. So I'm not too worried about bench players in San Antonio. You know, I like me some, maybe some Patty Mills, maybe some Dwayne Dedman. I think those guys could be interesting for sure, who get minutes anyway, even in starters rotations, but they could get more if there's some rest out there. Golden State at Phoenix, 220 total in this one. Golden State favored by 7 on the road, but the interesting thing here is Draymond and Andre Iguodala both resting. Obviously, that makes a lot of interesting front court opportunities for guys like Matt Barnes and David West. And, you know, I mean, I guess we could even look at some of the centers and JaVale McGee or maybe Zaza, because we know we can target the centers in Phoenix. You know, and of course, the Phoenix rotation, super, super tight. None of the veterans playing right now. So basically, it's just, you know, Tyler Ulis, Devin Booker, TJ Warren, Marquise Chris getting 35 minutes a night. And then Alex Len and Alan Williams filling in the rest of that. Derek Jones Jr. getting minutes too, but I don't necessarily need some exposure to Derek Jones Jr. just now. Dallas at the Clippers. This is the last game of the night. 203 total here. Clippers favored by 12. Dallas clearly packing it in. They're done for the year. It feels like they are really, really done. You know, the Seth Curry shoulder injury, they rested Wes Matthews yesterday. I thought he was going to be in play against Sacramento. Of course, they give him the night off. Dirk has the Achilles, which is their way of saying Dirk is old and we don't want to force it. It's over. This season is done for them. I think that they are pretty much going to just pack it up. So we'll see who plays for Dallas down the stretch. I don't really see a lot of these guys playing too many minutes here. And of course, you know, even Harrison Barnes, for example, last night, he started, and you know, you think that'd be a good play, but he only got 25 minutes. And Carlisle's not going to force the guys who've been playing all year to go out there and take extra minutes. You know, so we do have some Dallas value to think about. Dwight Powell got 35 minutes last night against Sacramento, which is just bananas. You know, Nicolas Brusino is getting minutes for them. So we'll figure out if there is some possible value that we can target on the Dallas side of the ball. But it's kind of risky, you know, when you have other value on the slate that you know for sure, like the Moutier-Murray situation. You know, we know for sure that Matt Barnes and David West are going to get minutes, that we probably can look at some of these Spurs guys to get some minutes. The Mavericks rotation isn't as clear in punt mode. We got to see kind of what punt mode looks like for them and how hard they're punting. You know, and on the opposite side of the ball, the Clips, I don't really want many Clips in this situation. It feels like a, you know, 24-minute type game, and good targets, just price-wise. DeAndre and Blake both above 8 and 9, and then, you know, of course, Chris Paul at 9-5. It just, there's no reason to play Clippers in this situation, except for maybe some value Clippers. You know, I don't know. So that's what we got, guys. Big slate, some really nice national games where I'm really concentrating my efforts and my exposures are Denver, Houston, Cleveland, Boston, Golden State, Phoenix, right? Highest pace, highest total, clear situations in all of them. And then I'm building out maybe a couple value plays here and there, a little bit of exposure, but those are the games that seem the most fantasy viable to me, fantasy relevant tonight. So we're going to concentrate on those, you know, players in those games and kind of try to, you know, I don't think it's unreasonable to say fade the rest. But let's jump into the player pool breakdown and figure out who we love. Who do you love? Okay, so starting at the top of the slate, we're going to sort through the studs, figure out where we want to put our the lion's share of our money. Lock and load segment here. At point guard, I'm going to talk, I mean, obviously Russ here in a Memphis game. I think we can look at Russ for sure. You know, and if we feel like Memphis is going to have their full range of guys, then I think this could be a more competitive game. But if we have the Memphis bench basically playing against Russ, you might see something similar to last night. And given the fact that we've got James Harden in a great game on the highest total game on the slate, I don't necessarily know how much I want Russ. So going down, let's pivot down. Let's look at Steph at 10K getting Phoenix. We know they're bottom five in DVP. Beverly just went off for 46 fantasy points against them. You know, Steph really hasn't gone below 40 points here. I think what I really like is the fact that we have no Iguodala and no Draymond and an excellent pace total DVP situation for Steph. Steph goes to a 33% usage rate with 1.4 fantasy points per minute when those guys are off the floor. Klay, not so much. I mean, he could probably get TJ Warren wing defense here, which could limit his effectiveness. You know, the point guard position is definitely where you want to attack the Suns rather than the shooting guard position. So I really like I really like Steph in this situation. I know it's sometimes hard to swallow because he's the 4X king, right? But we know how much scoring upside he has, and with no one else on the floor to do it for them, I don't see any reason that Steph couldn't just take over and just get all the buckets. He's only averaged 37 against them, but there were some serious blowouts. One game he had over 50, but two of the other ones he barely hit 40 because they had KD and they won by 30 points. I don't necessarily know that we can look at that. I think we have to look at what is more predictive, which is DVP, pace, that kind of thing. So Steph in a high pace, high total game on the road with no Draymond and no Iguodala. I really like this game maybe to shoot out. You know, I think you could see Devin Booker really put up some big numbers in this pace up situation. And maybe we get three full quarters of Steph versus Devin Booker and really, really, really get a lot of offense here. So no problem going to Steph at 10K. You know, if he was 10-5 or any more than that, I might be worried. But I think that 50 points is well within the range of outcomes here for Steph Curry. You know, I think the really nice pivot opportunity would be, of course, down to Isaiah Thomas. You know, we know Kyrie Irving is probably going to get some Avery Bradley defense. So it's what they did in the last situation. And Avery Bradley, healthy, really knows how to dog Kyrie Irving. So I don't necessarily want to look at Kyrie Irving as a primary Cavs scorer. I would rather look at Isaiah, who will get the Kyrie Irving defense. So I don't mind Isaiah in this one. If you want exposure to that game, I think Isaiah Thomas is reasonably priced. We're asking 43 points. That's definitely well within the range of outcomes for him, especially in a big game like this. You know, he's been playing really, really well. Of course, he is at home, you know, which is even better. We love when he is at home. In his last game against Cleveland, he went for 42, which is boom, right on the nose. That's value for us. So I don't mind Isaiah Thomas. I think they're both in play, Steph and Isaiah. Based on how your roster construction pans out, I think you could go with either. I really don't mind either one of those guys in this situation. Then we're going down to shooting guard. It's really obvious. James Harden at 12-1, Denver at home. It's really, really pretty much going to be a lock. I think you kind of have to have your Harden in your lineup here. The question is once you get Harden in there, what do you build around him? You know, Nuggets on a back-to-back. Houston has averaged 120 points against the Nuggets this year. 240 point total. It's insane. I mean, honestly, I'm not kidding when I say give me as many shares of this game as I can get my hands on. Not kidding. I mean, it really, really feels like we need to get overexposed to this game in a way. You know, try to get as many pieces of it as we possibly can. And Harden is obviously my favorite one. You know, it's just too good of a price to not play James Harden. 12-1. We're asking for just over 60. He's gone over 60 against them twice this year. He's coming off of 3 days of rest. On 2 days plus of rest, he's averaged 56 points. You know, Denver trying to get that 8 seed. They are going to absolutely give it their best shot tonight. This is really an important game for them. So you got to like them to try to stay in the fight and really play hard all the way down the stretch and try to keep up with them. I think the pivot here would be going down to Devin Booker. And of course, he's in a little bit overpriced, but the production is undeniable of late. He's really starting to click here late in the season. That 70-point game kind of opened up, I think, an understanding of how he can be used. He hasn't gone below 40 in the last three games, you know. And we have a really high pace, high total opportunity where he'll probably get 30 minutes in this situation. So I don't mind Devin Booker in this spot at all. I think that, you know, this is the kind of game that Devin Booker would want to show up for, especially against Golden State. You know, I don't think he's a must-have, but I think that you could easily talk yourself into trying to get Harden and Booker into your lineup. I'm not interested in DeMar tonight. I really liked him against Indy, but tonight against Detroit, KCP defense, pace down. There's just no reason to force it. At small forward, pretty straightforward, guys. It's LeBron. I don't really need to say much more than it's LeBron in a playoff-type atmosphere. I mean, he's the GOAT. You know, he really is. He's an incredible player. Triple-doubled last night in Orlando. You know, he has the opportunity to take the lead here. I don't think this is a rest situation for them. Honestly, when I look at the rest of the Cavs' schedule, I see them taking this game, you know, really taking this game seriously. And then, you know, they're going to, you know, get the Hawks back to back basically Friday and Sunday. They could take a rest on one of those games, you know, and they finish out with the Heat and the Raptors, you know, and those games are pretty well spaced out. The Hawks and the Heat game, actually, that's a back to back. So, you know, maybe you see LeBron rest on the second half of that back to back or the first half of that back to back against the Hawks. You know, once the rest of the division shakes out, you could see kind of exactly what they're going to do. But tonight is not the night that they rest. National TV game in Boston. This is a mental thing, too. You know, Celtics got the last one. I think that the Cavs really, really need this one to kind of feel like they're going into the playoffs strong just mentally. So I think the pivot is Kawhi, obviously. The only situation in which I'm playing Kawhi, though, against the Lakers, who are just terrible, is a GPP viable because he will come lower owned than Bron. But I think you can also play Kawhi basically because you may have other rest candidates in San Antonio. But that's predictive. I'm just guessing there. I don't know if we're going to have rest candidates in San Antonio, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see some rest for San Antonio or some fake injuries or LaMarcus Aldridge thumb, you know, Manu Ginobili thigh, that kind of stuff, ankles, you know. Pop doesn't care about that memo. He would legitimately just be like, LaMarcus's thumb needs to be rested. Okay, what are you going to do? He sprained his thumb the other day. Power forward, it's Jokic, the Joker. I don't necessarily love Jokic in this spot because he just continues to do the thing that we don't want him to do, which is go out, play a really strong first half, and then just sputter out. And he did it last night. He had 25 plus points in the first half, and then he sputters out and he scores 15 in the second half. We think it's fitness. I don't know what it is, but the guy basically scores in smaller increments each quarter. He scores huge numbers in the first quarter, kind of a little bit in the second, and then just sputters out in the end of games. He just really can't get it done. So you got to think that maybe Jokic is not my favorite play here. You know, he only had 46 and 40 minutes last time out against the Rockets. And even though we love centers against the Rockets, and you know Jokic is going to be playing hard, I just don't know what I'm going to get from him. And, you know, with Gallinari taking as many shots as he's been taking and Gary Harris scoring as much as he's been scoring, I just think that Jokic maybe isn't going to be doing as much scoring as we want him to be. You know, I think his upside is limited here, especially when you compare his upside to a guy like Steph with Steph in the DVP situation he's in, Bron in the situation that he's in. Those are your other 10K options. I just don't know necessarily how much I want the Joker here, which pains me to say. Hassan Whiteside at center, 8-4. I hate Whiteside. I don't care who knows it. I hate him. I don't think he's a good cash game play. I don't know how much of a good NBA center as he is. Meh. I'm over it. I don't really like him here, but he is the top price center on the slate. He's always GPP viable. And especially getting a below average Charlotte DVP defense, if you are a Whiteside guy, then maybe this is a good spot to be different than everybody else on the slate. But you're paying 8-4 for Whiteside. Why would you pay 8-4 for Whiteside when you can pay 8-5 for Isaiah Thomas? You know what I mean? I mean, 8-5 Isaiah Thomas in a really competitive plus matchup seems a lot better than Hassan Whiteside in a unpredictable Hassan Whiteside style. I mean, he could go for 50. It's a plus situation. They need the win. But I just don't trust Whiteside, and I don't think you can either. He's had classic Whiteside outcomes, 20 points against them once and 38 against them once. So 4X and then, you know, 2X. I don't need that in my lineup. It's way too unpredictable, and there's way too much value at center for me to roster Hassan Whiteside tonight. Let's go into the fantasy grout here. These are our mid-tier players here, you know, 5 to 8K range type candidates, the guys that you want to build around your studs. And I think that there's a lot of really good possibilities out here tonight. Let's start with point guard. Two guys that, you know, just are getting a ton of minutes, ton of usage. It's Kemba Walker, 7'6", he's got Miami, and then Tyler Ulis, 6'2", Golden State. Kemba just playing like a man possessed. You know, I mean, I think basically he's got to put this team on his back if they want to get into the playoffs. He had 49 fantasy points last night in Washington, went off in the first half against John Wall, which is impressive. I mean, given the, you know, John Wall's history against point guards, you know, it wasn't necessarily predictive that Kemba would go off like that, but he, you know, he was hitting shots, and the pace, Washington's playing at a really high pace. So I think that that helped Kemba a lot. Pretty high scoring affair for Charlotte, who normally isn't that high pace of a team, and, you know, their Vegas totals often reflect it. So, you know, they're a game and a half behind Miami. They've got Miami tonight. This would be a huge win for them. You know, Miami top five in DVP to the point guard, but still Washington is top 10. You know, I mean, they've only allowed 45 points per game. This isn't a fast paced game though. This is a low game, low pace game, low total. I don't mind Kemba in this spot at all. You know, he hasn't scored less than 35 points against them this year. Twice, once with 35, once with 37, once with 38. That's right at value, right where you want him to be. And he's at home, which we like Kemba at home as well. So, I could see Kemba going 5X here easy, you know, going for 40, try to get himself into the playoff race by getting one good win against Miami here, really make one last push, you know, for this Charlotte team. You know, the last three games, 47, 42, and 51, they got that win against Denver. They couldn't pull it out against OKC, and they couldn't pull it out against Washington. But we know full well that, you know, mathematically, they're still in it because other teams are losing games. And this would be a huge win for them, especially if they could get maybe, you know, if they get the Pacers or the Bulls to drop another game, that 8 seed is wide open, more or less. So I don't mind Kemba in this spot at all. I also think that Tyler Ulis is just priced well for his pace, for the total that they're getting. You know, his matchup with Steph is not ideal, and we know that Steph Curry is an elite defender right now, and he's playing extremely well. And in fact, you know, Golden State, number two in defensive efficiency, just behind the Spurs. So we wouldn't play Tyler Ulis against the Spurs, but I think given the fast pace, the high total, and the fact that Ulis we know is going to get 36 minutes more in this situation, I don't think necessarily we have to be too concerned. Not to mention the fact that without Draymond on the court, the Warriors are -6 in defensive rating. He helps their defensive rating by 6 whole points. So, you know, you definitely see the Suns being able to do a little bit more offensively without Draymond there. You know, he's going to get huge minutes in what could eventually be a shootout. And he could be a part of that. We saw a huge shootout, you know, with Houston, and where he really, really produced well in that spot against Houston. You know, 50 points there. Do I think that he's going to do the same thing here? I don't know. I mean, defensively, Golden State is just so much better. But he had 35 against Charlotte, 38 against Atlanta, 39 against the Clippers. I mean, it just, the minutes are so good for Ulis that, you know, you kind of almost have to consider him in this position. So I don't mind Kemba. I don't mind Ulis if you're going into the middle tier. And here's the thing, with all the value on this slate, I really do think some of these guys are going to come lower owned. So I think you could get both of these guys at below 15% tonight, and I don't mind that at all. at shooting guard, there's two really obvious options. One is, of course, Clay, the man. The man just went off last night, and you know what? I was fiddling with it, and I was like, Clay. Maybe I'll get Clay in there. Wish I had, because he went for 41 points. And he's going to play, you know, his price didn't go up at all. He's got Phoenix on the road tonight. You know, his numbers don't come out really that well without Draymond. They pair really, really well together. Draymond's assist rate with him is just really, really high. They have a nice correlation. They play extremely well together, which is interesting. But, you know, I think it can be said that, you know, Klay in this spot will have to do a lion's share of the scoring, could do a lot of work in this game. The only thing that concerns me is that the Suns are actually better against the wings than they are against, you know, the point guards and the bigs, for example. And that's primarily because of TJ Warren, who's a pretty solid decent defender. It feels like a much more obvious spot to attack, the point guard position with Klay, or excuse me, with Steph. But the probability, I mean, the thing that you're thinking about here is you have a $2,500 difference in price, but a possibly very similar range of outcomes, anywhere above 40 points. You know, do I think that Klay will get above 40? Yeah, it's very, very likely that Klay goes above 40 points tonight, you know. Scores 30, a little bit more ball handling, maybe some more peripherals, maybe a rebound or two here or there. That's very likely for him. And if you're paying that cheaper price for a guy to go above value, then that makes a lot of sense to me. The problem is you really only have one extra shooting guard slot here on this slate to get to Klay. So, you know, you got to figure out how you're going to roster all of these guys. And that's a challenge. You know, building lineups today, it's not impossible, but it's not perfect to try to fit in, you know, all the guys that you really, really want. So Klay is definitely there, but I think you can easily go down to Gary Harris at 6-1. Gary just blew up last night. He's getting massive minutes. No Barton in the lineup. He's one of the most solid pieces of their rotation. You know, he does more than just score. 22, let me see, let me check the line again. I think it was 22-8-5, if I remember correctly, last night. He went for, 23-8-5 with two steals. So 41 fantasy points for Harris. He had 30-39 against Houston last time out. He has such a consistent floor. We know the pace is here. We know the total is here. We want exposure to this game. You know, I think Gary Harris for sure in play in this one. No question in my mind that it's a good spot to go after Gerbert. I like him a lot, and his price just isn't moving. I don't know why, but it's not going anywhere. Small forward, there's really only one guy that I would consider in this price range, and it's Danilo Gallinari. Gallinari, very similar to Harris insofar as he's getting huge minutes, basically, you know, absolutely locked into the three with no Barton in the lineup. You know, 37-42 in the last two games without Barton out there, 39-38 fantasy points. You know, Gallo is absolutely in play just because he is such a well-priced option on this slate, and I don't mind Gallinari at all here. I think you're sometimes playing with fire with these guys. Like Gallo got smoked in that last Houston game, and against a Ariza defense, you're not really in love with him, but he gets a ton of minutes. He takes a ton of shots, 13 attempts in the last five games, 7 threes. I mean, somebody tell Danilo Gallinari not to shoot 7 threes. He's not Klay. I mean, I don't even know if Klay takes 7 threes a game. That's craziness to me. You know, he's only priced, though, to hit 33 points, which isn't bad. I think that's a fantasy point per minute based on how many minutes he's getting, more or less, which isn't crazy for a guy like Gallinari. And it's not crazy given the fact that you have a massive total in this game, you know? I have no problem going to Gallo in this spot. So Ariza might be popular because, you know, we can't attack Denver at the three, and Ariza's been really hot, but he's just overpriced given the fact that he has a 15-point floor. We know he can score. We know we like him at home, but it's very easy for Ariza to regress to like a 20-point outcome here in the Houston Rockets with a full, healthy roster. You know, with Harden back, he just does that. 20 points is very much his floor. You're asking 27 from him, which isn't a crazy number for him, but I just don't necessarily know how predictive we can be with Ariza. And at 5'8", I may look elsewhere. Just not that interested in trying to play with that kind of fire. At power forward, I really like Kevin Love at 7'3". There was a regression game coming. Of course it was against Orlando. They're terrible. Of course he gets 33 minutes against Orlando. I'm pissed off that we missed it, guys. I kept saying last week, there's going to be a Kevin Love game. Think about it. And it was last night. He had 49 fantasy points. But he should be in a very good spot against here. You know, he did really good work against, Orlando on the glass, which is what you like to see. Kevin Love ceiling games, he's going to have 10-plus rebounds. And Aaron Gordon had 16 rebounds against the Celtics. And, you know, okay, fine. The Celtics-Cavs game is going to be a little bit more highly contested than the Celtics-Magic game. But I think that you can look to Kevin Love to try and take advantage of the glass here tonight. I like the rebound upside. He had 51 in the one game he played against the Celtics this year. I mean, a stretch four against the Celtics. This is kind of a perfect matchup for him. You know, he's going to get... My guess is they're going to go small in a lot of situations with, Korver and JR on the wings, LeBron running the four, Kevin running the five, and Kyrie at the one. And that means, you know, Kevin Love is going to be in that trailer spot situation with LeBron pushing the pace, pick and pop, corner threes, that kind of thing. You know, this is interesting. Did you know the Cavs shoot a better three-point percentage than the Golden State Warriors? Wow. I mean, and that's what they do, man. They shoot the hell out of the ball. You know, think about this. What happens when LeBron goes down the lane? Swoop, vacuum. And then you've got, on the perimeter, you've got Kyle Korver, Kevin Love, J.R. Smith, and Kyrie Irving. Tell me who doesn't hit threes. And if you don't collapse on LeBron, what's he going to do when you go one-on-one with him? Who's going to guard him? Jay Crowder? Jay Crowder is going to elevate with LeBron. I mean, Jay's good, but he's not that good. They're deadly, man. They're still the Cavs. You don't sleep on the Cavs. You think about the firepower that offense has. Just amazing. So the other guy that's in play is Marquese Chriss, and he's in the play the same reason, you know, that any of the Suns are in play. Massive minutes, massive pace, massive total, really small rotation. We know Chris is going to get 35-plus minutes. He's been getting those minutes basically since they shut down the rest of that front court. And Chris has been doing pretty good stuff with them. You know, he had a really nice game last time out against Portland. He's had, you know, some kind of stinkers against Atlanta, for example, pace-down team with a decent front court. But, you know, I think 35 minutes here from Chris in a pace-up situation with no Draymond Green sounds like a pretty decent spot for him. You know, he does well in situations when he can run the floor. And, you know, pace-up games like the Portland game, the Brooklyn game, those were good games for him. You know, he struggled in the Charlotte game where you have guys who, you know, I think there's a lot of competition for rebound there with Marv and Cody Zeller. And he struggled in the Atlanta game where obviously Dwight just took advantage of them. And he struggled in the Clipper game. Of course, he's going to struggle against DJ and Blake. But you have no Draymond in the lineup today. I think Marquese Chriss could have a decent game in this spot. And he just priced well. He's priced safely. Asking 26 points out of Marquese Chriss doesn't scare me as much as you're asking, you know, okay, Frank the Tank, give me 26 at Miami. Frank, you gave it 20 in Washington. I don't know what you're going to do. And then, you know, Zach Randolph has been playing out of his mind lately, but it's kind of a roller coaster. He's up and down. You know, he has 40 and then he has 20 and then he has 40 and then he has 20. And it just, that's hard to predict. And Serge Ibaka, I don't want him in a pace down situation. And nor do I want Enes Kanter in a pace down situation. I don't know, man. It's hard. Marquese Chriss feels like the safest option there. Power forward has been unbelievably difficult to predict. And, you know, I saw a couple tweets last night. It's like our lineups are literally living and dying with our power forwards. And it's true, man. It's been one of the ugliest spots on the slate. Paying up for Anthony Davis has felt like one of the best decisions that you can make these days when he's on the slate. So Chriss taking 10 shots, seeing 6 rebounds. I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I don't, you know, like I said, it's more or less like a kind of a borderline value play and asking him to do not too much. I don't think a lot of ceiling here, but 25 points is definitely in the range of outcomes. At center, you know, not a ton here, but I think I think you have to consider, Nerlens Noel possibly if we continue to have no one in the Dallas front court playing. Of course, that also possibly goes for Dwight Powell, but we need to see who's sitting for the Clippers, or excuse me, sitting for the Mavericks. I don't know who's going to sit, you know, but definitely interested to see what happens in that situation. You know, and then once you get down off of Nerlens, I guess you could look at maybe a Pau Gasol at 5'5". You know, he's got the Lakers. That's a plus matchup here. Last time out against the Lakers, Pau put up 27, you know, in 20 minutes. That's not a terrible thing. He's going to be low owned. Gasol never comes with a lot of ownership. But right below him at 5'4", you have Mason Plumlee. And Plumlee, you know, if we want to get more shares of this massive total, massive pace, Plumlee, once Fareed left, Plumlee had 31 points last night in 27 minutes. And in two games against Houston, he had two outcomes, 30 in one game, 17 in another. So I think Plumlee is priced well. I think he's in a good position to succeed here. I could definitely see myself getting some Mason Plumlee shares in this one. You know, and I think that this is where you want to spend your money, basically 5'5 or 6K and below for center. I don't necessarily see any centers above 6K. You could talk yourself into some maybe DeAndre Jordan in tournaments, but it just, it's too much for 25 or 28 minutes of DeAndre. You want, at 8'1", I want 36 minutes of DeAndre Jordan, and I just don't necessarily know you're going to get that many minutes from DeAndre Jordan. You know, in those competitive games where he's played, he's gotten over 35 points. But if he doesn't have to really compete, then, you know, 26 minutes, he's basically just over a fantasy point per minute, and minutes correlate for him. So I'm not really that interested in Jordan if I know he's not going to maybe get minutes in a game where the Mavericks are punting. So Mason Plumlee, very interesting to me. Pau Gasol, very interesting to me. And then you go into the bargain basement. Let's get into the bargain basement. 5K range and below. There's so much at point guard again. And like, guys, it's not crazy if you just want to take two of these punt point guards. I don't think it's out of line. Starting with Patrick Beverley at 4'8". Great matchup against Denver. You know, I think Patrick P-Bev is regressing a little bit, which is nice. We've seen a little bit of regression from Pat Bev, which is good stuff. He had a massive game against Phoenix. You know, when Harden is on the court, though, he just doesn't handle the ball as much. He doesn't have to score as much. You know, two games against Denver, kind of mixed results, 13 and 26. That's the thing. You're playing with fire with Pat Bev because you don't know if he's going to touch the ball or if he what he has to do. You know, he's very similar to Ariza in that respect. The floor is like 13 points, and they can win anyway if he scores 13 fantasy points. That's the hard part for me. You know, that worries me. If you get some people who are sitting maybe beyond Ryan Anderson, who we know is sitting already beyond that, then okay, maybe. But I think you could very easily talk yourself into some Patty Mills at 4'2". Jamal Murray and Emmanuel Mudiay, both at 3'7", absolutely in play in this one. Tony Parker at 3'7", also, I mean, he's just getting a ton of minutes right now. I don't know if he's going to rest or not. I'm not really sure what could happen there. And, of course, if Mike Conley doesn't play, then we have to look at Andrew Harrison in Memphis because, you know, we're going to have – you know, he's been injured for a while, but we're going to have somebody play point guard. But I think Mike Conley is probable for this game against Oklahoma City. So, you know, I guess maybe we're not that worried about it. But there is definitely value. There's definitely value in this situation. You know, and I think that you probably look very closely at the Denver situation for one of those guys to go off. You know, Murray, everybody was interested in Murray in the last time that they played against Houston, you know, and he didn't really do a lot, 14 and 19 points. But against 19 points won't kill you at 3-7. That's the thing that you like about that. And he started, I don't know necessarily if he's going to continue to start, but, you know, I'm not sure. I think if you want some a little bit more safety, maybe you go up to Patty Mills getting the Lakers. We know he's probably going to get 25 minutes in this situation. Backcourt for San Antonio also very thin already. All right. then shooting guard. Shooting guard, I think you go down to 4-6, and that's kind of where everything is concentrated at that 4-6 price point. You know, you have Eric Gordon and Lou Williams both in an interesting situation against Denver. We know that they give up the three. We know that these guys can shoot. The problem is that with Harden back on the floor, it's very difficult to predict their range of outcomes. I think 20 points is definitely where you could see both of them land, but it's very possible that one of them goes for 17 and one of them goes for 26. You know, I think there's it's very difficult to predict. I think that they're both in play in tournaments. In fact, the more tournament viable one is, of course, Lou, just because Lou has that second unit scoring effect, and if he gets hot, he can really, really, really fire. But he played pretty poorly against Denver in that last series. You know, 12 and 19 points in those back-to-backs. Eric Gordon, similar, just kind of played really badly. Not played really badly, but didn't play well against Denver in those games. 22 and 20 points. You know, okay, fine. But, you know, like a lot of the other Rockets, you don't know necessarily how much they have to do if Harden is going ham. And they have so many scorers that it's really not clear who's in that rotation going to have to do work. So I think you could very easily go down from them and look maybe at J.R. Smith, whose minutes are way up right now. He's at 3-6. Interesting spot for him. I don't love the matchup, but we know he's going to get 30 minutes and it's a competitive game, and he's going to want to win this game, and he's clearly rounding into form. Just the numbers continue to go up. 21 points, 24 points, 31 points, 28 points. You know, he's scoring, and he's taking a little bit of that pressure off the perimeter there. So I think that J.R. Smith definitely in play against the Celtics. I'm not going to say expect another 30-point outing, but I don't think it's crazy if we say we could expect 20 points from J.R. Smith in this situation. Even with a healthy Kyle Korver back, J.R. is in the starting rotation and he's doing good work. Small forward, there's two options, and one of them is only if Kawhi rests. The whole Kawhi, you know, the Spurs rest situation, we really got to keep an eye on. I think that we can look at Matt Barnes pretty clearly here. Matt Barnes getting good usage in good minutes without Iguodala and Draymond on the court. Matt Barnes goes to 21% usage rate, 0.78 fantasy points per minute. That's not bad. That's really not bad. It's not the best on the team, but it's pretty good. So I'm not too upset about Matt Barnes in this situation. I got to think that he's going to be playing some good minutes at the four, and we have no problem attacking the four in Golden State. And, you know, the reality is Matt Barnes, as long as he gets his minutes, he'll play well. He had 27 last night against Minnesota, 12.6 rebounds, 4 assists. He does a lot. You know, he's definitely correlated with his minutes here, and if he gets good minutes, he should get good production. And at 3-6, you're only asking him to get you 18 points. That's not craziness. So I don't mind Matt Barnes in this spot. I also think Kyle Anderson will be in play against the Lakers if we get some rest candidates from Pop, or some injury, quote unquote, injury candidates from Popovich. You know, what's crazy to me is that Anderson had 28 points against the Jazz. But then he can't get anything done against other teams. You know, it's kind of a weird situation. Kyle Anderson only really, if he gets hot, Pop keeps him out there, but he did have 16 points in only 14 minutes against the Lakers last time. So keep an eye on that. Kyle Anderson in play if we get rest candidates on San Antonio, but only if we get San Antonio news. At power forward, I really like David West. David West at 4K, he is one of the other massive beneficiaries of the no Iguodala, no Draymond. So David West goes to 26% usage rate, 1.24 fantasy points per minute. One of the biggest bumps that there is for the Warriors. Got to think that David West will get some good minutes tonight, even though he's a veteran, he's a key piece. They want to keep him fresh. I think that you could absolutely see West getting 20 plus minutes in this situation. And the dude has massive upside when he gets 20 minutes. I mean, against San Antonio, he got 22 minutes and he scored 30 fantasy points. Just last night, in 15 minutes, he scored 20 fantasy points. 18 minutes against Washington, 19 fantasy points. He's only 4K. If he gets 20 minutes here, you love this spot for him against Phoenix. There's a terrible front court, you know, and I think he will get 20 minutes in this spot, you know. I just don't see why not. I think that this is an interesting target for him. You know, not a bad position for him to get, you know, get some good run and just kind of, you know, take his 20 minutes, 20 points and move on. So I like David West in a power forward spot where you really can't chase a lot of people. I just, the power forward is just so, so difficult today. It's literally like, it's so hard to predict. And you really, I really don't want to spend up because you just don't really know what you're going to get. So I think David West is pretty much exactly where I want to go in this one. At 4K, he really won't kill you. And that's about it, honestly. I mean, you know, the other guys in a Golden State, you know, James McAdoo, I don't know. I can't do McAdoo. I'm not going to do McAdoo. I'm not going to do, what's his name? What's his name? The other, guy in, I can't remember the other guy in Golden State. I can't find him. Kevon Looney. No, not that interested. Dwight Powell, maybe if we get everybody resting again in, everybody resting in Dallas, like the whole front court resting, then Dwight Powell's going to start. Okay. Maybe, you know, and the same, by the way, at small forward, the same goes for Brusino. Nicola Brusino had really good minutes last night against Sacramento. You know, if he and Dwight Powell both got 30 minutes and both put up above 20 fantasy points in their most min price. If they're going to play 30 minutes in their min price, you kind of have to try to figure out how to get them in there. It's more stars and scrubs here, guys. Anyway, let's go down to center here. At center, I'm really interested in, I'm interested in Dwayne Dedmon. You know, Pau Gasol, obviously we know Pau Gasol in play for sure, because, you know, we just know that basically the, we know that the Spurs, we know we can attack the Lakers at the center, right? And Pau Gasol, 20 minutes of Pau Gasol at 5'5", that's pretty good against the Lakers. But Dwayne Dedmon, absolutely in play. He's been getting 20-plus minutes in the last couple games. And if, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge sits, for example, he had 20 minutes against the Lakers last time out, and he had 27 fantasy points. He's 3-6. I really feel like he is safe. He's not going to rest. He doesn't rest because they manage his minutes so well, and he's a young enough guy that he's not the kind of rest candidate that Pop really feels like he needs to sit him out like a David Lee or a LaMarcus Aldridge. Dedmon can handle the minutes. He's just younger, in better shape. So I don't mind Dwayne Dedmon at all. I think he is absolutely in play. And I mean, the whole Javale McGee and Zaza thing, it's really hard to predict. I don't necessarily want to try to predict it. But gosh, I mean, you could absolutely get some amazing value. Freaking McGee played 8 minutes and scored 24 fantasy points against Washington. I mean, tell me how you're going to be able to predict that. I have no idea. And Zaza, same thing, you know. I mean, Zaza gets minutes, you know, and he could really, really do some good work for you because, you know, he gets 15 minutes and he scores 15 fantasy points, basically. He gets 20 minutes against the Suns, you know, maybe he goes for 25 fantasy points. It's just very, very difficult to predict. You know they're going to get a little bit of extra run with no front court out there. And the numbers tell us that, you know, basically when those guys are off the floor, that all of a sudden, you know, Javale McGee goes up to a fantasy point per minute and Zaza goes up to 1.5 fantasy points per minute. But they're not massive sample sizes. They're not really a lot to work with there. So there's nothing really that consistent for us to think about. In that respect, Dwayne Dedmon, though, also priced really well, and we kind of know what he's going to get and what he's going to do. A little bit less of a dart throw with Dwayne Dedmon against the Lakers. So that's where we're at. Let's take a look at lineup construction right now, and let's figure out how we're going to build a lineup on this slate where there's just insane value and insane studs. So similar to yesterday, I'm going to kind of give you guys like a blueprint for builds. And like I said, if you want to play cash games, it's fine. But I also think, you know, this is very important for me to continue to hammer this idea. I say this consistently whenever we come to this portion of the show. You guys have to build your own lines, you know, use the player pool, go with your gut, go with what you know. Don't take this lineup as gospel, because variance hits me too. And I'm just giving you an idea, a starting point to build your own lineups and use the player pool. If you're using the cheat sheet, then use the takes that other guys have, you know, do your own research, that kind of thing. And it depends on, you know, are you playing GPPs or are you playing cash games? Are you going to build multiple lineups or are you going to build one lineup? It's up to you. But I think one of the things that we're going to start with here is I'm absolutely going to lock in a value point guard. I'm absolutely going to take one of these guys in the threes, or excuse me, I'm going to take basically a Patty Mills or below. Okay, so Patty Mills at 4-2 or Jamal Murray at Emmanuel Mudiay 3-7. So I'm going to start with Patty Mills at 4-2. I'm going to take him for sure. I just think it's a good spot to attack LA at the point guard position, right? Similarly, I'm going to take, I'm going to lock in James Harden. I his price is too good. The matchup is, the total is insane. I'm going to lock in James Harden. I just don't see any reason not to lock in James Harden. I'm also going to lock in a couple people, a couple guys who I really like from this Golden State rotation who are going to get big bumps. And for me, those guys are David West and Matt Barnes. I think with two bigs out of the lineup, that David West and Matt Barnes could really be beneficiaries here, playing a lot of the four, getting 20 plus minutes. They're both really well priced. Matt Barnes at 3-6 and David West at 4K. Okay, so right now, basically, we have Patty Mills, James Harden, Matt Barnes, David West. So we have two value plays, right? Okay, and there's basically two ways that you can approach this. Okay, you can either go and you can take take one more value play, and you can try to get three studs in your lineup, or you can say, I'm going to take one more stud and then I'm going to build with Grout. So let's say we take one more stud here. Let's say we take LeBron at 10-7. Okay, we're going to take LeBron. That's going to give me 6,300 at every single other position to build around. All right. At center, I'm going to want more exposure to that high total game. Give me Mason Plumlee at 5-4. All right. At shooting guard, I really like Gary Harris. So give me Gary Harris at 6-1. All right. Now, I have 6,900 for a point guard and a power forward. If I want to go with Kevin Love, I can go with Kevin Love, and that's going to leave me kind of in the weird 6K range for another point guard. So maybe I won't go with Kevin Love. Maybe I'll go with Marquese Chris. And if I go down to Marquese Chris at 5-3, that's going to leave me with just enough money to get to Isaiah Thomas. So this is a pretty viable lineup that feels like, you know, two studs, and then some pretty strong Grout plays and value guys. Patty Mills, Isaiah Thomas, James Harden, Gary Harris, Matt Barnes, LeBron James, David West, Marquese Chris, and Mason Plumlee. Now, that said, let's say that we even want to go further stars and scrubs, and I'm going to take Isaiah Thomas out. I'm going to take Marquese Chris out. I'm going to take Mason Plumlee out. And I'm going to leave Harden, Gary Harris, Matt Barnes, LeBron, David West in there, because those are some of my favorite plays. Now, we're going to go to another value point guard like we talked about. But let's go down to maybe Mudiay or Murray here, even cheaper than Patty Mills. Either one, I think you base your decision on news and you figure out, you know, whatever you want, you know, however you think. I think they both have the same range of outcomes, to be completely honest with you. And then at center, we're going to take our guy, Dwayne Dedmon. I love Dwayne Dedmon in this spot. I really think that he is viable in this position. Where is he? Dwayne Dedman. Now, if you don't prefer Dwayne Dedman and maybe you want to go with another one of those, guys in the, what's it called? If you want to go with one of those guys in the, in the Golden State game, Zaza or JaVale McGee, be my guest. I don't know who's going to score. I don't know. Maybe you do. I don't know that there's any good way to predict it. They're both going to get 20 minutes and who knows what they do with them. I wish I could tell you, but I can't. And it's a coin toss to me. They're the exact same price. So good luck. Then it gives me $8,100 left to work with. Now, as I see it, there's two ways that we can do this. We can go with, go back to Isaiah Thomas and then get Kevin Love in there, which is really nice. You know, you have a really nice roster in that spot. Or we can do something a little bit different. We can go with Kevin Love, Klay Thompson, and then, I thought for sure we were going to be able to get to freaking Kemba. $100 off. $100 away from Kemba Walker. No! I hate that feeling. $100 away from the exact way you wanted it to work out. That would have been really nice to have Klay, Kemba, and Kevin Love along with Harden and LeBron would just be super duper nice. But let's see if we have a Steph lineup here. There's a way that I think we can get Steph in here. You can go with Steph, Gary Harris. Steph, Gary Harris, and Marquise Chris. You have some money left over. You can fiddle with it. You could go up to, for example, Patty Mills very easily right there. You know, I mean, guys, there's a lot of ways you can do it. I think you have to decide how you want to do it. And if you want to go with Steph and James Harden as your studs, I get that. That's fine. It's just that I think positional scarcity is showing me that LeBron is definitely a good position here to do well. I just, small forward is ugly and I don't really like it. So I kind of want to be on LeBron in this situation. But that's it, man. And, you know, I mean, I think that there's a lot of different ways to do it. So let's go back to the original version here that I had, which was Patty Mills, James Harden, Gary Harris, Matt Barnes, LeBron James, David West, Marquise Chris, and Mason Plumlee. So that's the original kind of where we're building from. Of course, there's a lot more grout plays on the slate than there are, you know, than other slates. So I have no problem with you going, you know, a little bit more balanced and taking just one stud and building around Harden and then, you know, building out your grout plays. You could definitely, if you just go James Harden, you could definitely fit in Klay. You can probably fit in Kemba. You can probably fit in Gallo and Love, which is nice. I mean, that's absolutely a great way to go. I think that's a really solid option. I just also think that given the value and the guys who are possibly going to get 30 minutes at min price, you kind of have to also think about whether or not, you have to think about some of these value plays because, you know, like we said before, it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't type situation. If you're on these guys or not on these guys, you know, there's a lot of possibilities there's a lot of possible ways that this slate can go. And you kind of want your exposure to some of these players who are almost min price and could go 10X, you know. You kind of have to be on them in some respects, at least some of them. All right, guys. So that's it for me. Good luck in your contest tonight. Hey, Patreon page is up. MLB cheat sheet. Talk to us about MLB. We're working on it. It's not perfect yet, but we're going to figure it out for you guys. Good luck in your contest tonight. Listen to the Masters podcast. Listen. All right. Enjoy the night in the NBA, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow.